Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to continue what we started last Sunday, entitled The Church Before the Watching World. Did you know you're being watched? Oh yeah, we're being watched by our government. We're being watched by other governments. You're being watched everywhere you go. There are cameras on you. People are, whether you know it or not, they're tracking what you're doing online. They're even tracking your tweets and maybe even your cell phones. But what I'm talking about is the church being watched. Did you know that? The church, that's not just people driving up and down 15501 and they're watching the church. I hope the police department are watching the church. I hope they are, the building. But the church is you and me. We are the church. I don't care where you go. You may live in High Falls. You may be living in Seven Lakes. You may be from Cameron. You may be from Bass or Carthage, but wherever you are every day, if people know you attend Community Friends Church, then they are watching you and they're watching this church because you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you tell people, well, I go to church, I love the Lord, we as a church are being watched. We're being watched by the world out there because they want to see if we've got that hope in us that we say we've got. You know, they say they go to church and they say that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that God watches after them. They say that God takes care of their needs. They say that they have peace and hope and forgiveness. They say, we say, and so they look. They watch. They want to see if the God that we serve does take care of us. So the watching world out there, the world is watching the church. The world is watching you and me and just hoping down in their heart and in their soul that they'll see something in your life, they'll see something in my life that will give them some hope. Because isn't this old world is a hopeless pit. You know, there used to be a time we Americans had some hope. Really did. You know, if I do good in school, if I behave myself, if I get a job with this particular company or something, I've got it made the rest of my life. When I first started work and started working out in industry, you know, if I could get a job at a particular plant, I knew if I behaved myself, I'd be there till the day I retired. But you don't have that anymore. And people are living in a hopeless pit in our society, and they're wanting to know, is there any hope? So they're watching the church. They're watching you and me. And God has set before us, He has set before us as a church, as a group of believers, an open door. God has given us an open door at Community Friends Church. What kind of door has He opened to us? He's opened the door of blessing. He's got the door of blessing open. You want a blessing? Then God has the door of blessing open. He has the door of growth open. He has the door of service open. You want to do something for the Lord? He's opened the door of service. And so I ask you this morning, before this watching world, what will we do? What will you do? What will we as a church do with this door that has been opened to us in 2012? You know, God won't leave this door open forever. You know, God makes His visitation. He makes His visitation to individuals. You know, He says, my spirit will not strive with man forever. You know, He'll open the door for us. He'll open the door for us to get our lives right with Him. pardon me, he'll open the door of blessing and service. He'll open the door of growth for a church. But if we don't step through it, he'll shut that door. He'll close that door. In 1 Peter chapter, well, he closed. Well, I've got some good people back there in the video room. They know just exactly what to do. Kind of scary, isn't it? But you know, we laugh at that. But you know, I've been to churches and I've been around people who had their opportunity. Who had their opportunity to serve Jesus Christ, their opportunities for salvation. I've been to churches where the opportunity was there, the door was open, and God says, I've got blessings, I've got growth, I've got things for you, but they wouldn't step through, and bang, I've seen the door close. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we started last Sunday in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles open. Two verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let's read those two verses together. But the Apostle Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or lifestyle in Christ. All right, what should we do if we want to step through this door that God has for us? What do you want to, don't you want to be blessed in 2012 in your life? Don't you want to feel the presence of God in this coming year in your life? Don't you want to do service for your Lord? If you already are a child of God and love Him, don't you want to do something for Him? Well, what do we need to do? The Apostle Peter tells us what to do. And I want these two verses to be the verse of this church, the verses of this church for the next 12 months. And it says, but sanctify. That's the first word I want you to hang on to. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is, this new year, if we want to be blessed, we want to step through the door that God has opened for us, if we want to reach our community, we're going to have to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. And that simply means set Him apart. Make Him holy in your heart. What is your heart? Not this muscle that's pumping the blood through your body right now, but that real you, your innermost being. Make the Lord God the Lord of your life, of your entire being. Make Him the master of your life. You know, that's why some people never get settled in church. That's why some people never enjoy their salvation. That's why some people never do anything for the Lord. That's why some people never seem to grow a bit from the day they got saved to 60 years later, because they have never sanctified or set apart the Lord Jesus Christ as master of their lives. Everything else, everybody else is the master except the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know down in your heart, this is the only way I can get you to see it, that right here in the innermost part of you, there's a throne. There's a throne, and right now, if you look down inside of you, who's sitting on the throne? Is it you? Or is it your boss? Or is it your family? And I know family's important. Is it your home? Is it your job? What's sitting on the throne? What motivates you? What makes you do what you do? Jesus Christ is supposed to be on the throne. And that doesn't mean we can't love our family. That doesn't mean we can't love our job. That doesn't mean that we don't get to do anything anymore, but it means that the Lord Jesus Christ controls our actions, controls our thoughts. It's time that we who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ make Him the Lord of our life. Another word for sanctify or set apart is surrender. Surrender. Lord, I give up. You know, we do that when we get saved. You know, we come down and we surrender our heart to the Lord Jesus. We surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus. We yield to Him, now save me. And then we get up and say, well, I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven now. I'm going to just do what I want to do. I'm going to be what I want to be. And Lord, if I get in trouble, I'll call on You. Isn't that the way a lot of us do most of the time? We get in trouble, we call on the Lord. The rest of the time, we just, oh, I've surrendered my sins to the Lord Jesus. But we really don't surrender ourselves. Lord, I yield to Your power. Lord, I yield to Your control. Lord, I yield to Your possession. That's what we need to do. If we're really going to be the children of God that we ought to be, if we're even going to be the church we ought to be, the church is going to have to be made up of people who have sanctified and set apart the Lord Jesus in their life and have surrendered to His power and to His control. Surrender means that we let God's Holy Spirit empower us so that we can live as God intends us to live. Are you living like God wants you to live? None of us are. I haven't arrived yet. The Apostle Paul said he hadn't arrived yet. He said, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm reaching forward to that which is before me. And that's what we all ought to be doing, reaching forth to be what God would have us to be, so His Holy Spirit can empower us. I think it's that young man that spoke to our men's breakfast this morning. Men's breakfast. Who was there? Oh, yeah. Anyway, he said that he went to a lot of churches. He didn't get saved till he was 31 years old. He went to a lot of churches, and he said, I didn't feel anything. You know, that's what I hear from the majority of people I talk to today. Well, I'd go to church, but I don't feel anything. I go to church, but it's just dead. And why is church dead? Because we're dead. Our battery's just as dead as it can be. You know, have you ever gone out on a cold morning or any other morning and turn the ignition on in your car and all you can get is a big click, click, click? It won't crank. Well, let me tell you, and I'm going to get right down where it is, most of us who say we love the Lord Jesus Christ, most of us that say we're on our way to heaven, we ain't nothing but a big click. That's all we are, just a big click. There's no power. There's no joy. There's no service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we wonder, why is our churches going away? Why aren't people coming into our services? Because they don't feel anything when they get here. I've got a stack of cards that high of visitors that have come in this place in the last 2.5 years, and only about that many have come back. Why didn't the rest come? Because maybe they didn't feel anything. Now, I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty. The door is open for us here at Community Friends Church. We can be a powerhouse for the Lord. We can be a lighthouse in this community. But we're going to have to come to the place where it's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's not what the ministering council wants. It's not even sometime what the majority of the church wants. But what does Jesus Christ want? What does the Lord want? What does He want to do through each and every one of us? What does He want to do through this church? We need to surrender. Surrender means we've set apart Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives, the supreme object. Now, I want you to get this. The supreme object of our worship and service. Why'd you come to church today? Well, if I don't come to church, preacher will write me one of them letters or call me on the phone or come knocking on the door, and I don't want him popping in every now and then when I don't have everything right, so I'm going to go to church. Satisfy that preacher. Satisfy that Sunday school teacher. Is that the reason you came today? Or did you come because you've been raised up in the church and you just feel guilty if I don't go? Well, we ought to feel guilty if we don't go, but that shouldn't be the reason we're here this morning. Our supreme object of being in this place this morning, or in any other church this morning, should be to worship the Lord. We've come together to worship you. We need to sing some more of these songs about worship. Worship is majesty. I love that song. Worship is majesty. And that's what our service ought to be. I appreciate you folks getting up and giving testimonies. I wish some more. That's what worship is. It's not just hearing the preacher get up here and saying a few words and stumbling around and, oh, he put on a good show today, didn't he? I've heard people say that. When they've gone to other churches, I'd say, how was it at church today? Oh, that preacher, he put on a good show today. Listen, I'm not here to put on a good show. I'm here to deliver to you what God has laid on my heart. As I've been in my study, as I've gone through His Word, God said there's a door open. God said the world is watching. If we're going to step through that door this year and show this watching world the hope that is in us, then we need to surrender to Jesus Christ. Worship. You can't wait to get here to worship. It'll be that way. You know, after we first got saved, it was, wasn't it? Most of you can think about back to the days first got saved, and you just couldn't wait. As the longest week is like Christmas. Before Sunday came. And you want to be in the Lord's house to worship Him, but then it becomes the same old thing over and over for us. And there's no glory, there's no praise, there's no joy really. And it's just a routine we go through. Worship. Giving Him worship. Giving Him glory should be the reason we come together. Oh, I want to come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ so we can sing songs together, so we can lift our voices. We may not be in tune, but we can lift our voices in praise to Him. If we're going to be what God wants us to be as individuals and as a corporate body, as a church, it's going to take some surrender. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I want to worship you, and I want to serve you. You know, surrender. We have set apart Christ as the Lord of our lives and the supreme object of my worship and your worship and my service and your service is to bring Him glory, and everything else should be secondary. Until each and every one of us, preacher included, now, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Because I feel that in my heart, that joy is not there. I feel in my heart that power is not there like it was. Like it was in that old building over there. Oh, we had some joy, didn't we? We had some glory days over there, didn't we? Well, God wants to have you here. What have we slipped into this thing that, oh, we've got a nice sanctuary God has built for us, and we have arrived. Oh. Now, everybody in Carthage knows Community Friends Church is on its way. It's got a new building. If that's what it is, then I say close the door and go back to the old building. I really mean that. Shut the door and go back to the old building. If this place has become the supreme glory in our lives and not the Lord Jesus Christ, then close it up and go back over there. If that's where we're going to find the glory. But we don't have to go back over there. If we would just come to that place where the Apostle Peter said, sanctify the Lord Jesus. Make Him the Lord. Not a building, not a job, not a Sunday afternoon football game or a Sunday morning football game that we can't go to church because we got to watch a football game. Got to see the first tip-off, kickoff, whatever they do. I don't know. I'm always in the recliner asleep whenever they play. So I don't know what they do. But who is the master of your life? And then the second thing we need to do, he says, know what you believe in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you, why you got joy? Why are you so happy? I see you going through a hard time. I see you going through battling sickness. I see you've lost a loved one, but you've got something in your life that I can see radiating out of your life. Why are you like that? Be ready to tell somebody. And to do that, as we said last Sunday, we ought to know the Word of God. I challenged you last Sunday to read at least 3 chapters a day in the Bible. Don't miss it. Read it, because that's where you find out why you know that you're saved. How do you know that you're saved? Not because the Lord doesn't come down when you get saved and give you a certificate and say on such and such a day you got saved and you take it back home and frame it. An angel didn't appear by your side, it didn't to me, and say, well, you're saved now. Pat me on the shoulder and send me on the way. How do I know that I'm saved? Because the Bible tells me in Romans 10:9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 that if I believe on the Lord Jesus as my Savior, if I believe that He died for me, if I've confessed His name before heaven, if I've stood up and told people in baptism and in a testimony that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're saved. You know it. You can turn to the book. In one of my Bibles, I've got my second birthday now. First birthday was in 1937. Y'all don't even remember that far back. But my second birthday was in 1969. That's when I really began to live. I got it written down right there. You want to see? Somebody say, I want to see your birth certificate. I don't even know where my first birth certificate is, but I can open that old Bible that I carried for so many years, and right there, it's written down. The date. That's my spiritual birth certificate. And the Bible tells me so. We got to be people of the Word. The people out here want to know, what's your hope? Where do you get your hope from? It comes from Jesus. How do you know it comes from Jesus? Because the Bible tells me so. And I'm going to hurry along because I want to finish this morning. I didn't finish it last Sunday, but I'm going to finish it today with God's help. The third thing, we need to be God's witness. Notice verse 15 again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man or to every person that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give a witness to everybody. To everybody, he said, every man. That's a generic term for person. We are called to be God's witnesses. We're called to be God's witnesses. Church is not just a place to gather for 1 or 2 hours on Sunday. Church is not just a place where we can go and serve on a committee. I've known people that their whole relationship to a church and to the Lord Jesus Christ was serving on a committee. I can take you to that church today. It's still in existence. It's about gone, but it's still in existence because their whole relationship was tied up, well, I serve on such and such a committee. That doesn't mean a bag of bones or whatever. I mean, the church is not just a place we come together for an hour or two, or we come together to serve on committees. We need to serve on committees. It's not just a place to be entertained. It's not just a place where we're made to feel good. You know, I hope you go away from church feeling good. I hope I don't put you down too much, but you know, sometimes the sheep have to be sheared. You know, sheep get so much wool on them, they got to be sheared. Sometimes we Christians do. The worship service is not always a happy service. If it is, then we're doing something wrong. If nobody gets their toes stepped on, if nobody gets sheared, then we're doing something wrong. Most churches today, I'm going to say this. Most churches today that you go into are not New Testament churches. So I think we need to reinvent our church. We need to reinvent our church. We need to throw out all tradition. Some tradition's good, hang on to it. But there are certain areas we need to reinvent the church. Most churches today are a come-and-get-it church. You know, come and get it. We put out on our sign, we're going to have a supper, come and get it. We're going to have a cantata, come and hear it. We're going to have so-and-so to speak, come and hear them speak. It's a come-and-hear church. Well, the New Testament church wasn't that. The New Testament church was a go-and-get-them church. That's the kind of church Jesus modeled. What did he tell his disciples? He said, go and make disciples of all men. He said in another place, I've got a supper prepared. So go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in to the supper. We like to sit in our church pews where it's just as comfortable as it can be. We want the heat and the air to be just right so we won't be uncomfortable. We want the preacher to pat us on the back and make us feel good, and we go out and do nothing and wonder why people don't come in. It's not put a sign out and they'll come in, but it's go out and get them. Go out and knock on the door. Go out and call them on the phone. Go out and send them a letter. Go out and invite them to come in. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, these are the last words that Jesus spoke. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said, you're going to be my witness. You shall be. He didn't say you might be or you ought to be or please, I want you to be my witness. He said if you've got the Spirit of God in you, and every believer has, it's not something that we come about 6 weeks later and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get filled all the time, but the moment we're saved and birthed into the family of God, we're birthed into the family of God by the Spirit of God. You've got the Spirit of God in you, and that Spirit of God ought to compel you to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and invite somebody in. Every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ should be fishers of men. That's what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you say, preacher, I can't invite people. I can't witness to people. Well, Jesus said, no, you can't. But if you'll follow me, I will make you. I'll empower you. I'll help you to do it. And I sure have to call on him to help me to do it, because I'm just not naturally inclined to do that, but he'll help you do it. It's a church's duty to train people to do the work of the ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? Why did he give you a pastor? Why did he give you a Sunday school teacher? Why did he give prophets? Why do we bring in evangelists and have revival? For the perfecting, or the equipping, that's a better word, for the equipping of the saints. And you know who the saints are. You, the believer. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Inviting, going out, get them, going out and witnessing, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, the encouragement of the body of Christ. Who's the body? Me and you. We're the saints, and we're also the body. And pastors and teachers and elders and all of us, we should be getting equipped to be witnesses and to encourage one another. Encourage one another. In so many churches, people are discouraged from going to church because they're always, can't do anything right, can't make so-and-so happy. So they just go out discouraged. We're supposed to work at this thing of making each other to edify, to lift up, and to encourage one another. The responsibility of every church is to evangelize its Jerusalem. Where's our Jerusalem? Right here. Have we been out and knocked on any doors in Carthage? Have we done any mail-outs to Carthage? Have we done anything in Carthage as far as going out and getting somebody in? That's the first thing we need to do. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem," that's first, where you live, "and all Judea and Samaria and other parts of the world." And start until, listen friends, I'm closing now, it's 12. Until we start doing these things, we won't be a New Testament church. Until we start setting the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctifying him in our life as Lord and Master, not just number three down on the rung of the ladder, but until he's in first place in our lives, until we begin to get into the Word of God and read and study, until we begin to go out and get them instead of sitting still and hoping they'll come in, we will not be a New Testament church. And if we don't do these things, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but if we don't start doing some of these things, God will close the door that he's opened for us. Let's all stand. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a question today. And I'm not asking you, have you been saved? I pray that you have. If you haven't, now's the time. Now's the time. This is the invitation. If you've not been saved, then come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm asking you, church, is the Lord Jesus Christ your master? Have you really surrendered to him? Or does everything keep you out of church and away from serving him? Does the least little thing keep you from being in your place on Sunday morning? Are you telling people about Jesus? If you're not, then now's the time, while this altar is open, for all of us to be down here saying, I want to set Jesus apart. I want to sanctify Him in my heart. Lord, I surrender myself totally and completely to You. Lord, they come now off. Don't stand there and try to fool yourself this morning. You know, a lot of people, they try to fool themselves. Oh, yeah, I'm all right. I got it right a long time ago. You may have got it right. But the Lord Jesus is sure not on the throne of your life. He's sure not your master. So quit fooling yourself and surrender, give up, and then you're going to get. You give up to get a joy. Doors open for our church and for me and you. Will we step through it?